DW Africa Link.
The recent withdrawal of one of Tanzania's leading opposition parties from the 2024 elections is not a sign of apathy, but a bold protest. They've raised serious concerns about the fairness of the playing field, the integrity of the institutions, and the future of democracy in the country. This is a pivotal moment for a nation that was once a beacon of stability in the region. Is Tanzania's democracy backsliding, or has it already crossed the line? In this episode, we unpack the implications of the opposition's bold withdrawal and what it means for the voice of the people in 2025 and beyond. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Tanzania is gearing up for the general elections in October this year, but the biggest and main opposition party, Chadema, has thrown a wrench into the process. Their refusal to sign this year's electoral code of conduct document, a document that other parties have committed to, could have significant implications for the 2025 election. The head of the Electoral Commission has warned that any party that failed to sign the code of conduct risks being barred from the 2025 election. So how would this affect Tanzania's democracy and governance? And could that compromise the conduct of the elections? Well, to discuss more on this, I'm joined by Lovelet Lwakatare, a political analyst and DW's correspondent in Tanzania, Naomi Jaseda. So I'll start with you, Lovelet. Let's start by just you explaining to us the atmosphere right now as the country prepares for the elections.
Thank you for having me. So as we head to elections 2025, we must acknowledge the 2020 elections as the previous general election held in Tanzania, where we had the late President Magufuli become president and majority, if not all of the parliamentary seats going to the ruling party, CCM, where the opposition was really frustrated. Some of the candidates who had won elections were not announced. There was a lot of rigging of elections. The playground was really unfair, all by international observers and also local observers declared that. So after the pass of President Magufuli in 2021, we had the previous vice president to him, now President Samia Suluhu Hassan, become the president of Tanzania. Of course, that's a whole new administration. She had reshadowed the cabinet, the ministerial cabinet, and came up with her own philosophy on how she thought should govern the country in the next 4 years, because she took over from Magufuli in 2021. So it's been all under observation on how she's operating, and now we're heading to the first election, her coming up as a presidential candidate representing CCM alongside other opposition political parties. Apparently, we have over 15 opposition political parties in Tanzania, but the main vibrant ones are Chadema as the ruling leading opposition party, but also ACT Wazalendo, the Civic United Front, CAF, and other political parties. Right, so that is how the atmosphere is now.
Mm-hmm. But what really, I know that is now some of the things that has led to Chadema party pulling out and also not signing the electoral code of conduct. But I understand some of the opposition parties have signed it, so it's not really about the contents of the conduct, right? It's just about Chadema feeling like some of the stuff in the conduct is not right.
Oh, yes. It must be acknowledged. The opposition ecosystem in Tanzania has been dynamic, but also are static and confusing to the electorate at the same time, where some of the opposition political parties have been accused of being sort of being used as a tool to of division of the opposition or opposing thoughts of the ruling party. So at different times, we've had opposition parties taking over, having a lot of public support and membership, and almost close to winning elections. Historically, the Civic United Front, for instance, the Tanzania Labour Party in 1995, all those are opposition parties that are still currently in the system, but they have, with time, been losing popularity. Almost there's no difference between them and the ruling party, CCM, and also the public just losing trust in them. So now having Chadema making almost the same, different moves, it sends a different message to the electorate that maybe the opposition now is very serious, because the demands that are being made by Chadema are the same demands that have been made over the years, that we need to leverage the political playground, we need reforms so that we can have free and fair elections. These have been demands being made, but we are having for the first time a political party that is willing to withdraw from elections and say, you know what, because if we don't have a free and fair playground, that means that it's useless. It's almost useless to vote. Says and opposition parties, we must declare that they operate under very difficult circumstances. So acknowledgement of all that makes Chadema an outstanding opposition political party, that these are the realities and we must change the rules so that they can all take part in elections that are free and fair.
Right, right. Now, Naomi, you are a reporter on the ground. Just to find out what people are saying as the build-up to October already is starting, people are already talking about elections. What exactly are people from Tanzania saying in terms of also Chadema Party pulling out?
Josie, most of the citizens here in Tanzania want democracy, and there is a certain joy in seeing strong parties competing for leadership position. And Chadema is the main oppositional party. So what's happening now is bringing a mixed feelings among people. So citizens are asking questions like, what will happen to the party? And what is the fate of the election? What will happen to democratic competition? And people are wondering whether the general election will have the same weight or examined if the main oppositional party doesn't participate in the upcoming general election. So that's it all from the citizen or the people from Tanzania.
And the Chadema Party, as Lovelet also mentioned earlier, it is talking about reforms. Do we know about these reforms and what they are all about? Have you heard anything, Naomi, from the Chadema Party?
Josie, as far as I know, they want an independent electoral commission to be established, and they want electoral laws to be improved in a way they believe will be fair for them. And another thing, they want equal access for all candidates, including presidential candidates. And also they are calling for transparency in all election processes and opposing the use of force against oppositional parties. Also, they are calling for the new constitution writing process. Josie, in short, those are some of the key issues they have outlined so far.
And Lovely, just to come to you, do you feel that what Chadema Party is requesting is something that is justifiable when we see other opposition parties signing the code of conduct, or it's more like being adamant as an opposition party? If you can just make our listeners, or also someone like me who's not from Tanzania, to understand what exactly could be the problem in this code of conduct document. What is the problem?
Thank you. So we must acknowledge that the political culture in Tanzania has quite shifted due to the performance of the key players, as Naomi has just said. So historically, we've had citizens who are very active in politics, coming out to register and participate in campaigning, really having their voices heard. But over the years, the participation of citizens has really gone down. It has been demoralized because of the unfair playground in elections and in politics overall. So Chadema's stance now not to take part in elections, it can be seen in two ways. Yes, finally, because we must also appreciate that Tundu Lissu is the new chairperson for Chadema, coming up with his own leadership style, which was not present in Chadema. And it's only been a few months that he's taken over Freeman Boy. So that is also something to watch and note. He has a different approach of initiating change and demanding for things to work out in the favor of his political party. But also, we must acknowledge that Chadema as a political party, it also needs to do reforms internally, because as we could see in the 2024 party elections, we saw a whole lot of division amongst themselves. We saw that we haven't seen women take part in executive roles in Chadema leadership. We heard a lot of complaints from their members. We've heard of it's only elites and executives, and sometimes they're called a big boys or big men party. They're making decisions rather than their whole members making decisions, or their decisions reflecting the interests of the whole membership. So them themselves internally, they do not have reforms, they do not have a fair playing ground, they are not as inclusive as they're meant to be. So it's a bit unjustifiable for them to demand national reforms if they're not doing reforms within their own party. And as a normal, from a normal citizen point of view, it's questionable, because how don't you initiate change in your own home and you want to come and initiate change in another person's home or in a bigger scale? But also Chadema historically, they have not been very good with providing public feedback with some of the agendas that they drive with a lot of effort. So for instance, they previously had demonstrations. They had a demonstration in 2024. We have not received feedback on what are some of the reforms or amendments that were made or resolutions that were met. And these are some of the weaknesses that Chadema holds that I think even in their agenda now of on campaigning for no reforms, no elections, it's a bit questionable if they will really drive results, or they're just awakening citizens' feelings and in the end we will not have real change. And also something that I also like to bring in the conversation is noting that politics is not just about elections. After elections, we usually go into almost a four-year period where political parties have a chance to drive different forms and conversations and debates. Tanzanians have a whole lot of issues that need to be tabled on the agenda, but we have not seen Chadema do that. So it's also questionable, why are they only driving an election agenda rather than driving other agendas that are very key to Tanzanians' lives?
And whilst you're on that, Lovelet, if you can just tell us what you think about the internal friction within the Chadema party itself. I mean, do you think this decision could have been planned, or it was just like an anonymous decision?
Well, I look at it in two ways. It is, if the whole campaign and how it's being conducted, it's definitely Tundu Lissu's personality and character, which is a lot appreciated in opposition politics. We must really appreciate it's a lot of energy. He's bringing on board a whole lot of young people. It's a good strategy. But however, on the other side, as a leader, he was meant to forecast what is he compromising. Because the last thing in any nation that we need to hear is a resolution that that leads to a loss of lives, you know, imprisonment of citizens, people being laid back of the major economic activities, and basically people missing food on the table in their families. So I think he needed approaches that would favor, yes, the party pushing for its agendas, but also the citizens at the center of the decided strategies.
Right. And Naomi, when you are also talking to people on the ground, what are they saying about the Chadema party itself as a party, and also even their own internal friction? Just to find out how people are looking at the two parties, especially when we compare the main ruling party and the Chadema party.
Josie, people still believe the oppositional party is one who we're going to change maybe the things that happen here in the country. And Josie, from what we witnessed now, the no reform, no election slogan seemed that caused some internal division within Chadema parts themselves. So it looked like it wasn't a full united front, and there were conflicting views on whether to boycott or not. That somewhat led to disagreements among members on a Chadema part, and putting them away from the unifield stance. Anyhow, Josie, from the both parts, it does seem that they all agree on one thing: they want reforms.
Okay, so reforms is what is at the forefront. So if people want reforms, Lovelet, is it something then they can get from the ruling party? And how is also the opposition promising reforms moving forward?
So I would say this from a context of the culture of African politics. Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at different African countries, for reforms to happen, it usually takes a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of lobbying, a whole lot of activist groups, joining arms and researchers. So many people in the space really joining arms to initiate the change. And one thing in Tanzania that I see is that, of course, President Samia came up with her philosophy on reconciliation, reforms, and rebuilding the nation that is resilient. And we must capitalize on this. There is already political willingness that she's ready to do reforms. So it's about how other key players drive the reforms. And as you know, our constitution, and one of the things that is noted that it's a flaw, that a lot of executive power is in the hands of the president. So it really matters what the president is willing to do. And also because the president is willing to do reforms and to rebuild the nation and to reconcile parties, I think Chadema would have really capitalized on that over the past 4 years, so that they ensured that they got the reforms they needed now that we are in 2025. Maybe something that they should be answerable to us as the public is, what measures did they take, or did they aggressively do in the past 4 years or 3 years to initiate these reforms heading to elections? Otherwise, I feel like this is a campaign that is not in the interest of many Tanzanians, rather just the interest of the party, because we actually expected that they had a lot of time to initiate the change, the reforms, the campaign as we head to elections. And doing it in the last minute and staying out of elections is really not being fair to the members of the party, especially the members in the grassroots. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. And I'm just wondering how the election body then reacted to Chadema party not signing the code of conduct. How did they react, Lovelet? And what would you suggest the election body does in resolving this crisis, especially when there are calls for reforms?
what we see here is an electoral body that is not aligning with what the president's vision is. If the president is pro-reconciliation, is pro-reforms, why is the electoral body misaligning with the president's vision and her administration's visions, really? So we see a misconduct even in the institution itself that is driving elections in Tanzania. And we expected, of course, a whole lot of us in the space calling out the electoral body and saying, no, this is not aligning to where the executive is leading us to, and just using that to hold them into account. We also expected a whole lot of reconciling with Chadema, because they must look at Chadema as a voice of citizens who are just getting their voices heard at a national level and requesting for reforms. So if they're not catering to that group of citizens, they're really being dysfunctional in the system, but they also have a key role to play in ensuring that Chadema is also involved in the elections. They should not be proudly advocating that, you know, Chadema has bailed itself out of elections and we are okay to proceed with elections. That is not what the Tanzanian culture and traditions drive us to. We are used to a lot more of reconciliation and dialogue, and this is what we expect from them.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, as you're saying this, the election board, is it a case of now, is it not a case of who then will police the police, right? As they come up with this election, I mean, no, the code of conduct, now I'm referring to the election body, Lovelet. How do they come up with this code of conduct? Who's behind it? Because if you're saying that some of the things that are there do not even align with the president, she's talking of reconciliation. There are many things there that are found in the code of conduct that also don't align with what the president says. Then who is behind that code of conduct document?
Oh, thank you. Good question. And I must acknowledge that one of the issues that we tend to see in Tanzania is the dysfunction of institutions. So a whole lot of institutions in the country are really underperforming, and it's really a shame that we get to be here and with things that look like this. But, and that is how I must acknowledge that after the period of elections, so we expected after 2020, we would have a whole lot of key players reviewing the rules of the game, reviewing documents, but also, so it goes out to so many things that come in the line and in the value chain of politics, really, because these informations are barely available to the public. If you ask me today, where would I access these codes of conduct? I would have to make calls in my network. But what about another activist or another person who is involved? But also we have all parties on a forum called Tanzania Center for Democracy. We don't really get a whole lot of feedback as a public on what do they discuss. So some of the issues that we expected would be driven after the 2020 elections are some of the institutional dysfunctions like that we see now. So it's unfortunate that we are in elections and we're seeing this, but it's also an opportunity. After these elections, we have time to really speak about these issues and bring them into the agenda.
All right. Now, Lovelet, as we wrap up, so what lessons, I mean, Tanzania can learn from other neighboring countries to have at least free and fair elections, and elections with no violence, elections that are peaceful?
Lessons that I feel like the Tanzanian political ecosystem has to learn is times have changed. We are no longer doing hard man politics. We are no longer doing threats in politics. We're now heading to progressive politics. That is where the rest of the world is at. And as a country, we cannot function as an isolated island. We need to do politics that really puts citizens at the heart of every strategy and all decisions that are being made, either by political parties or the executives, you know, all parties that are involved. But also we need to correct our local narrative and narratives of so many people that are key players in the political ecosystem, and seeing politics, the base of politics and the principles of politics is just getting people to get the right representatives. It's not all this drama and a whole lot of chaos that they bring on the table and through their actions, really, that lead to losses of lives. It's very sad when we see that political processes lead to loss of lives. It leads to, you know, citizens being so frustrated. That is not the essence of politics, and we should not get there as a nation. We should promote a lot more of dialogue, a lot more of allowing differing thoughts to get on the table and inform agendas and our policies, so that we have a lot more of inclusion and we have a citizenship that is informed and empowered, and just drive our nation forward. Because this is, you know, the political parties shouldn't divide us. In the end, we are all Tanzanians, and our politics should be a part of building our nation.
Lovelet Luakatare, a political analyst and DW's correspondent in Tanzania. Naomi Jaseda, many thanks for joining us.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. In Uganda, opposition leader Robert Chiagulanyi, popularly known as Bobi Wine, has vowed to take on long-serving leader Yoweri Museveni in next year's presidential elections. Bobi Wine, who hinted that he wouldn't stand against Museveni 2 years ago, accusing him of vote rigging, has had a change of mind. All eyes will be on the 2026 election in Uganda, in which Museveni is poised to win again. Effectively, Museveni will have spent 40 years in power. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community. Your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions, and we value your insights. We encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabi. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW News.
Here are today's top news stories and why they matter. Tributes are pouring in following the death of the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis. The Vatican said that the first Latin American leader died on Monday. Pope Francis was 88 and had recently survived a double pneumonia condition. So what happens now? Usually, when a pope dies like this, the Roman Catholic Church observes a 9-day mourning period. There would be a funeral within a week, and then the College of Cardinals will convene to elect a new pope in a papal conclave. Moving on, the Democratic Republic of Congo government has suspended former President Joseph Kabila's political party called the Party for Reconstruction and Democracy. His assets are also set to be seized. Why such a move? Kabila accused the government of supporting Rwandan-backed rebels in the east in the ongoing conflict. Now the government is hitting back following this accusation. It rather accuses Kabila's party of aiding the M22 rebels. Prosecutors are also to initiate proceedings against Kabila. And how is Kabila and his party reacting to this? Former President Kabila hasn't issued any immediate response yet, but the secretary of his Party for Reconstruction and Democracy told Reuters in a statement that the suspension was a flagrant violation of Congo's constitution and laws. Mr. Kabila ruled DR Congo from 2001 to 2019. He came to power after his father's assassination. He stepped down after deadly protests against him. And finally, Nigerian authorities are investigating the collapse of a three-story building in Lagos over the weekend. DW Samson O'Malley has details on this incident.
The death toll from the incidents has risen to 5, with at least 15 people so far rescued from the rubble at the collapsed site in Ojodu Bega area of Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital. The old building housed a popular restaurant known as Equal Rights, trapping many people, including women and children. What caused the collapse? Lagos State government has blamed non-compliance on materials testing for the collapse of the building, but some residents blame the unfortunate incident on the construction of the building by a contractor. It is not the first time Lagos State is recording such building collapse. The National Emergency Management Agency says rescue operation is still ongoing.
And that's it for today. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button, like and comment on the stories we highlight on this channel, DW Africa. My name is Mimi Mefonero.
For mine.